All right, well, it's Monday, and as usual, there was a lot of action over the weekend. The Greek population voted in what was expected to be a make-or-break historic election, and while the pro-bailout New Democracy Party did celebrate a narrow victory and provided relief for those worried about an immediate Greek exit from the euro, Monday brought bad news, as investors freaked over Spain's 10-year bond yield trailing past 7%. So, did the big election actually change anything? Here to discuss it with me is Anthony Randazzo, Director of Economic Research for the Reason Foundation, and Edward Harrison, founder of CreditWriteDowns.com. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me. So what do you say, right? Because you have this huge sigh of relief that some people had after the Greek election, and then come back to Monday, and now everyone's just freaking out over Spain. And so are we back to
nothing changed?
Nothing changed.
Exactly.
Okay.
There's no real difference between where we were at before this election and now. We're just going to continue on dragging out Greece's pain a lot longer. Germany gets a little bit more time to shield itself for when eventually Greece does have to exit the euro. And maybe this is the salvation of the euro, ultimately, if it gives Germany enough time to protect itself and the rest of Europe from Greece exiting. But nothing's really changed.
So, but you think that it actually could get better from here, not necessarily worse? I mean, has this also maybe done permanent damage to the euro in terms of just the mentality?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think that Greece is where it's at. You were right on the money when you were talking about Spain, because it's really all about Spain and Italy. Greece is a much smaller economy. Maybe the shock waves can actually have a difference, but Spain is a huge economy. It's twice as big as the other three bailed out economies combined. And if bad things happen in Spain, then the whole euro Titanic ship is going to go down.
Well, we'll also point out with Spain, it wasn't just Greece. There's a lot more bad debt that sort of announced today, and so those bad loans, kind of like in the U.S. In 2007, when just banks were writing off bad mortgage loans one after another, and just every month there was more and more of it build up. That's contributing a lot to Spain's yields going up today as well.
If you if we go back to Greece for just a second, and then we'll talk more about Spain too. If you look at the breakdown, basically, some people pointed this out, the anti-bailout versus pro-bailout votes. It really was kind of a 50-50. Being here. And so does that just mean that, this lasts for a little while, and then 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 18 months from now, who knows, we're just going to see this happen all over again, and we're going to have to see another kind of election and another emergency situation?
I think the analysis is the same. Greece will eventually default on a lot of its debt and will have to exit the euro. Whether that is in a month from now, which might have happened if New Democracy had lost, versus 6 months to now for 2015, it's going to happen. And really what this election did was it's sort of a vote for let's continue to try fake austerity, because it's not real austerity. People aren't getting, it's sort of going halfway down the road, but eventually Greece,
What do you mean by fake austerity? I mean, why is it not real? People's lives are being affected.
People's lives are being affected, absolutely, but Greece is not able to go through everything that it needs to be able to clear its debt away. There's not enough that they can cut to be able to pay off their debts. There's not enough that they can make right now to be able to pay off their debts. And so it's just not getting to the point where they're going to be able to cover it all. So eventually they will have to default. So it's forcing them to go through pain that if they would just exit the euro now and go back to the drachma and devalue their currency, that they would suffer it all now and not later. Instead, we're just going to go through this sort of like fake period.
Do you think they should have gone for short-term pain?
I think that, what he's saying, macro, that's exactly where I am as well. It's that basically they'd have voted for a longer economic depression. That's what they've done. Because eventually they're going to have to default. They just can't take it. And what he's talking about in terms of, I wouldn't call it fake austerity, but there's not enough for them to cut. The debt is too large. They need to cut the debt. It's not about austerity. It's about too much debt. And if they don't cut it, then they're never going to make it. So they should cut it now instead of waiting and going through another, you know, 3 or 4 months of pain before they realize they're never going to make their targets.
And even beyond the macro, too, the simple fact of the matter is Greece has had these problems for decades and decades, the way that their government works, the way that corruption is based. So when I say, like, sort of false austerity here, what I'm saying is that a lot of it, they agree to these targets and then they never even go through with them. They go through a lot of them, but, you know, a lot of the jobs that they say that they're going to cut, they don't cut. And a lot of the program spending they say they're going to cut, they don't do. And they miss targets. And that's one of the big problems right now, that they're looking at going to be able to miss the targets on their current bailout. And so it's not even really the austerity program that was written up for them. That program assumed that somehow Greece could change overnight. It's sort of like deep internal makeup that just can't change that way.
And obviously a lot of division there too. But Greece has obviously been in the news, and everyone's eyes have been on Greece. And then you still have Italy, and you still have Spain. And Spain is the fourth largest economy in the Eurozone. And so, you know, what happens there, right? Because we keep asking these questions of what are the repercussions, how is it going to affect the global economy if Spain does exit or if it doesn't. Regardless, I guess it's been okay for the U.S. for now because everyone's just buying up, you know, our government bonds. But so Spain, what kind of, you know, what kind of shock would that be like?
You know, the euro could never make it if they can't even bail out Spain. Spain's too large. You were saying they're the fourth largest economy. And the reality is their bubble was monumental. We're not even halfway done with the write-downs that need to be taken. Property prices are going to go down much further. The whole Spanish banking system is insolvent, basically. So the question is how do you deal with that? The right thing to do would be to write down the debt, you know, have equity holders wiped out, take subordinate debt and write that down as much as possible, and whatever's left over, then you have to see how do you deal with that. Is it going to be at a national level, a supranational level? But they're not doing that. Instead, what they're trying to do is heap all of the burden onto the taxpayer, and people are saying, you know, the taxpayer can't take it. Now yields are shooting up to 7.3%, and the taxpayer, you know, the sovereign could default as well.
How do we put this into perspective with what's going on at the G20 right now, right, where you start to have to ask questions about this grouping of, you know, the top economies in the world, of the fact that you have business leaders coming and talking to them there and saying that we're waiting for you to act. You know, can the G20, which I love that everyone that's a business leader is just sitting around saying that they're waiting for governments to act rather than, I don't know, investing their own money, hiring instead of just sitting on it. But is the G20 kind of powerless because of, you know, what's going on in the Eurozone?
The G20 right now is just all one massive game of diplomacy. Like, nothing of real substance is going on, with the exception of figuring out who's going to pay more for Europe. Like, you know, China, we're going to kick in $60 billion to help pay for problems in Europe. We're going to convince India and Brazil to throw in a little bit more. The U.S. is trying to sit on the sidelines. But let's be honest, you know, the amount of money that we have in the IMF and the amount that we'll probably continue to put into it, we're continuing to bail out Portugal and Spain and Greece and hopefully not Italy. The simple matter is it's all one just game of diplomacy, trying to figure out who's going to make what steps, who's saying the right things. Everything's sort of pre-agreed upon, and everybody's just sort of fighting about how much to blame Europe for the global economic mess.
What do you say? Pre-agreed upon?
I wouldn't say it's pre-agreed upon. It's definitely completely political. Nothing's going to get solved then. And the reason is because the Europeans have already said, look, you know, we're not going to take lessons. We're not going to take economic lessons from you. And what they mean by you is the United States, Brazil, India, and China. And that means that, you know, we're not going to be able to go and say, you're going to need to do this, you need to do that. So there's going to be nothing solved by that. But at the same time, you know, the Europeans, or actually we are going to have to be out there saying, it's all your fault, it's all your fault, because after all, we've done everything correctly, and we're going to have an election, and this is why you should vote for us. So that's really what's going to happen.
The blame game, right? It's everyone's fault. All right, guys, I got to wrap it up, but thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.